You're a wizard, Harry.
Get the fuck out of here.
No, I cannot. It's serious because it's very important, please.
Magic can be difficult to master. Here we see Aqua Aructo, the water spell. I suggest you cast the water spell immediately. Not to worry. I'm sure you'll soon master the magic.
Play Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, the video game, and visit masterthemagic.com.
Welcome back to Pop Culture Purgatory. This is Jim.
Oi, this is Dison.
And Christian Martin.
Ooh, very nice, very nice. So we're continuing our Harry Potter month with the fourth film in the series, Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire.
I'd like to make an announcement. Hogwarts Castle will not only be your home this year, but home to some very special guests as well. Please welcome our friends from the north, the proud sons of Durmstrang, and now the lovely ladies of Beauxbatons.
I was just wondering if maybe you wanted to go to the ball with me.
Mr. Weasley, place your right hand on my waist.
Where?
Is that Hermione Granger with Victor Crumb?
You're fraternizing with the enemy.
The enemy?
Hogwarts has been chosen to host a legendary event, the Tri-Wizard Tournament. And now, the champion selection, Victor Krupp, Fleur Delacour, Cedric Diggory, Harry Potter!
How did you do it? I didn't put my name in that cup. I don't want eternal glory. It's Mad-Eye Moody.
Avada Kedavra. The killing curse. Only one person is known to have survived it, and he's sitting in this room.
People die in this tournament. The devils are inside the walls.
Something's coming closer. I can feel it.
The Dark Lord shall rise again.
Is it Voldemort?
Change now, isn't it?
2005.
Yeah, this came out a year and 6 months after the fucking Azkaban came out in theaters. I was like, I didn't realize how quick of a turnaround this one had.
Oh, wow. And like, I must say, I feel it.
Ooh.
I feel the rush.
Oh, yes.
To get it out really quickly.
Well, for me, it's just, this was the first one I saw in IMAX. Me, my mom, and brother went all saw it. And it was fucking awesome. It was really cool seeing this on a big screen.
Yeah.
But yeah, we got out immediately. We were just like, my mom was just, well, hey, okay, they cut this out. They changed the story. This person's here. You know, like she is just going through the whole spiel with me.
Right.
Because it had been a while since I read the book and she just has that inherently grained into her memory. She's read them so many times. Yeah. And but so, yeah, man, I was disappointed, but I do still think overall this is a good movie.
Yeah, put just a little bit of gross in highest grossing film. But it, the vibe was definitely different than the other three now that we've been through.
Yes.
So and this is your first time seeing this one as well. So we got to get
100%. Yeah. Yeah.
This is a bigger movie in my, it's a big one, honestly.
Yeah. It's coming in like Harry's chin, dude. It's coming in. Yeah. Boy, there's a lot to fucking take in with this one. We were just talking right before the episodes. Hormones are a big part of what's going on here.
The sexy Potter.
And it's worse than the book and a lot of your typical, you know, the jealousy that kind of Ron and Harry experience later. Like all that shit is even worse in the book. And it's like kind of hard to read at times, but especially once you get to book five for me is like, it's really the hardest to read. Not because it's not good or anything. It's just a lot of negative things occurring, you know?
Yeah. Well, you have kids dealing with this sort of the jealousy and, not only like what Mike was saying before with Harry and Ron, but you also have, the whole Hermione
girlfriends,
and, Victor, yes, Victor going out and all that
stuff before even anything. I mean, the music coming into it, I was like, this is different.
It's not
John Williams is not involved. Anymore, yeah.
So. Right. And it's not quite the same, but it's
still pretty good. The music is just there in this movie, in my opinion. I think it's extremely underwhelming.
Yeah.
I said it was, there are times where it's really, really good, I think, but most of the times it's pretty generic, like almost like love fantasy scenes almost. Like it's like, outro of like the, when the movie ends and it has that music and I'm like, this music is kind of like really generically lame. Like it's not really interesting at all.
Like, yeah. You've got like the highs of like, I mean, some of like the dragon sequence, all the music during that whole fight sequence later was really fucking cool.
The Voldemort Harry fight. I think the music's really good there too.
Yes, I agree. But then other than, you know, your lows are the fucking shitty Hippogriff band playing at the goddamn Yule Ball or whatever they are.
Yeah.
And by the way, they have that full performance on the deleted scenes. I couldn't even get through a minute. I was like, oh, God. No. God. I tried. I really did try.
I was wondering what they were trying to do there. Were they doing like an Iggy Pop kind of thing or like
or like a maybe a just Gary a popular- Newman? Or say maybe like a.
It's just like, you know, your typical, they want to put like a popular, oh, it's the you know, this is what all the kids love and
Hulk. The rock and roll band, let's fucking go.
Fuck it.
Sounds like Billy Idol a little bit too.
Yeah,
like,
Billy Idol.
Do you look like a hippogriff?
Which is weird because, like, in the book, none of that's there. It's just like, he describes the music, but like, and here they're like, let's get the lyrics in here. Let's just do something. Let's do it. I'm like, it does not work. It hurts my brain. It's like that music in the Crow trailer remake. It's like, oh my God, it hurts my head. Dude.
Oh yeah, dude.
It's rough.
Everything about that trailer hurts.
It hurts my brain. but yeah, like there are decisions in this movie. There are lots of decisions in this movie where I was really just like taken aback. Like, I mean, it's really bizarre. Like they took really, I feel like they took the easy way out a lot of times. Like, let's just streamline this fucker. Like, it hurts. Hmm. It really does hurt.
Well, I mean, I feel like the book still does a good job of obviously, and we're going to keep saying that over and over again, of making it more compelling. And of course, the Tri-Wizard Tournament is even crazier in the book. And I feel like the movie, you're right, dude. They're streamlining everything, and they're getting into this bad habit already. It kind of started with Azkaban, but now this one and the next one really divert so many fucking changes. And well, I was gonna say this is really the beginning of it, but the movie is still not bad overall.
No. Like I said before, and I'll say it again. This is my favorite intro. Like the whole. The skulls and the in the graveyard coming up, and then the Harry Potter logo. I love that with the snake. Yeah. I love that stuff.
And that's how the book. That's how the book opens too. Yeah.
Yeah, and we with the book we also get a lot more with Bryce and his whole character and the groundskeeper and
the all
that
guy.
Stuff too. So we get a lot more of that. But yeah, I like everything before that's really fun. But I mean, the movie, I mean, that whole like setup of like the grounds and it all looks really cool. Kind of almost like Sleepy Hollow-esque, like Tim Burton-esque sort of shit.
Yeah, that was fine. There's cool shit still in the movie. I actually enjoyed
lots of cool shit.
Yeah. I actually enjoyed it. There are things in it that I was like, man, they just kind of ran over a bunch of shit. But I guess Ron and Harry are living together at the start, and that was just like a two-second thing. And
The book starts differently. I can't. Is he already at their house? I didn't think it started that quickly in the book.
No, he's at the Dursleys, dude.
Yeah. Once again, he always starts at the Dursleys. They skip the Dursleys
completely. Yeah. Like just erase him. They erase all that stuff at the beginning. It's crazy how much they erase everything.
Yeah, so they seem like they would be. They said
basically, basically chapters 2 through 8 of the book are not in this movie at all.
Correct.
Yeah.
The whole.
And what does he describe in those chapters? He's talking about living with the Dursleys and what that's like.
Well, that's always a thing, obviously, but with Dudley, Petunia's trying to help him lose weight.
Dudley's got this whole diet thing going on.
Yeah, he's super upset about that. Harry's getting sort of like he's getting notes and food from Hermione and Ron, Hagrid, because he knows that the diet thing is happening right now. And he's hiding under the floorboard.
Any of that context, starting off, all the friends seem extremely disjointed, and they do throughout the entire movie. And obviously, right. I mean, of course, they start to separate, and then they're growing up and going their own way. But even from the very start, where they left off the last time, is they were just like, we're friends forever. And it starts off this way, like, no, right. I'll kind of fuck everybody, and we're
and off our own thing. And it's not that way in the book at all.
You know, I'd imagine,
They do speak to each other quite a bit. They're excited about this whole situation. And what happens in the book, what really starts the whole chain reaction is that Uncle Dursley gets a letter from Ron's dad and about picking up Harry on a certain day at a certain time. And that freaks out Vernon because he's like he doesn't want anything fucking weird happening in his fucking house. He's living in this neighborhood. Don't fuck anything up here. And what happens is that one night the whole most of the Weasley family show up using flu powder, but the fireplace is boarded up, and they Mr. Weasley blows up the fucking fireplace and shit, and this things go haywire, and everybody's fucking flipping out and freaking the fuck out. And there's a lot there. You know, Harry gets with the brothers, and the brothers are also trying to create a joke shop, and they accidentally quote unquote drop some candies on the floor. Dudley eats because Dudley can't eat chocolate anymore.
Dudley's on a diet.
Chocolate. Yeah, he eats the chocolate. He blows his tongue up to like
tin tongue taffy.
Taffy. Yeah. So it's like this whole thing. Like it's just crazy. Like it's a whole
other house elf that plays a huge role actually throughout the movie and the plot of the book.
Huge house elf thing. Yeah, we don't see any of that stuff happen. We literally have. We have erased two major characters in this movie. We erased Winky, which is the house elf, Barty Crouch's house elf, and we erased Ludo Bagman, who is a dude who's all about this whole wizard championship cup.
Yeah, he kind of knows Rita Skeeter a little bit, and she said, like, when you hear the line in the book or movie where Mad-Eye's like, you know, I'll tell you stories that'll make your hair curl or whatever. She actually says that about the Bagman guy in the book, Ludo Bagman.
Right. Yeah. There's a lot of like exchanging of lines like they did in the last movie. But it's more apparent here, and it's more aggressive here too.
They're just displayed as like an all girl and all boy schools, and that's like not at all like Nicholas Flamel is from Beauxbatons. Nicholas Flamel is the Sorcerer's Stone guy.
Yeah, so it's just a bunch of weird shit.
Yeah,
Beauxbatons has like has men and women in it too. It's very well described in the book. You would say the Soviet Union of this.
I think that's fair. I think that's a fair way of saying it. Yeah,
those guys. It like. It's all guys in that one. But yeah, it's
a lot of, they have girls too. At least in the book. At least what I was reading.
Okay. Well, I just finished it this morning. I don't remember girls being in it, but yeah, I mean, it's described.
Yeah, they're co-educational. I've been reading it right here. Each school is for both genders.
Yeah, they definitely projected it all dudes in the movie.
Oh, yeah, we're not gay.
Yeah,
no, look how angry and frustrated I am all the time.
Yeah, that's a death sentence. In
that. Yeah, right. Bubba Toes and the Durmstrang school. Yeah, it's just way more. It's again this thing. I really
Hermione's feel like doing a whole the spew thing or whatever. The
spew thing is happening in this one. Yeah, the spew thing is a big thing in this one, man.
She's trying to get better treatment for the house elves.
We got Dobby coming back in this thing too. Dobby's back in here.
Yeah,
Dobby's getting, but Dumbledore's actually paying the dude, and he's getting like one day off a week, and it's a big part. And
he unionized. That's good, man.
Dobby, no one else wants to do it. No, they feel they're too humbled. They don't want to do that kind of shit.
They feel like they won't have any purpose now. It's like it's almost the same arguments you see with slavery and all that shit. All the same bullshit they throw at the wall sticking.
Right. Hermione's like once you ask for like Dobby said that Dumbledore was like he offered me like a week off with pay, and Dobby's like, whoa, like that's fucking terrifying. Like I don't want to do that. I one day a week is good with me, man. I'm totally okay with that. Like it's too much to take off, and
that work life's been so ingrained that he couldn't understand anything.
Totally ingrained in his body and his brain. It also same thing with Winky. Most of the house elves too. It's like it's just very ingrained in them, and it's a hard thing to sort of pull apart. I mean, you even see Dobby in this book, really fighting.
Go ahead.
Just like the fact that there are times where he gets a chance to like say like a nasty thing about the Malfoys. He's like, he's just not.
He still struggles. A nasty
person. And then just like beats his head against the fucking ground. At the time. He's like, oh, hey, whoa, hey, man, it's good, good. Or like we're like it's a scene where like Dumbledore just like you can call me like an idiot or whatever or something like that or just a classic sort of J.K. Rowling line, a goofy like line in the Wizarding World, and he still like he shivers to say it. He's just like freaks out just to just dishonor him, quote unquote. But yeah, it's you get deeper into that kind of stuff in this book.
Yeah, and Dobby was the one who tells Harry about the Gillyweed, not Neville, in the movie.
Yes.
Oh wow!
It's
really?
A bunch of, and then they. It's funny that they try to include Neville in a different way in this movie, and then cut his fucking character arc completely out in later movies. Totally like, makes no fucking sense. Brutal and crucial too.
Yeah, yeah, it's great. Like, they, there's a scene where Mad-Eye. Well, not Mad-Eye, but you guys don't talk about Barty Crouch Jr. Indeed, I even gave that idiot fucking Longbottom a book about biology, and it still didn't occur to him that he should talk to you about this, and it didn't work. So I fucking had to tell Dobby about it because you mentioned Dobby earlier, and like it's really well created, like
in the movies,
it's just like they streamlined it in the movie, like just give it to Longbottom, fuck everything else.
Oh wow.
we ran out of budget on the dragon to put Dobby in this fucker. And what's funny about the dragon in this one, the head of it was fastened from the Basilisk head in Chamber of Secrets, so they kind of just built off that existing model.
Nice, it's cool as fuck.
I love that Basilisk head. It's awesome.
Oh dude, yeah, totally. And you can tell there's a shot you can just see like, oh fuck, you see it, and you know, obviously they fucking threw a bunch more horns on it.
Oh yeah.
Throw some horns on that bitch. Dude, I can't tell you how excited I was to see fucking Gleason in here.
Of course.
I remember fondly from fucking Braveheart and immediately recognized him from his role in Braveheart and fucking
sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Got super stoked on that. I mean,
he's not great in this movie though.
You know, I think he plays Mad-Eye Moody great.
I liked his role in here. I did too. Pretty good.
Yeah, I don't think it's too over the top.
But he has to be because he's not Mad-Eye Moody, and so I think he plays that just as well as he's described in the book.
My bad. You're right.
I think at the end, the way that he, not to jump way ahead, but when you see the real version of him, it's way more subdued on what you would expect him to be like.
I'll mention this. You're right, but also in the book.
There's a lot more hints. Well, yeah, he is. I mean, he turns fucking what's-his-mouthful into the ferret way before it happens in the movie. You know, like he's doing a bunch of fucked up crazy shit.
He's not over the top. He's not this over the top in the book at all. He's not like licking his mouth and like drinking the flask a bunch of times.
Well, I think the licking the mouth was like a heads up of him.
That's part of him being Barney, and they definitely added that. Yeah,
the movie, added that shit in there. They run with that stuff, and I'm like, don't run with that. That's terrible.
I agree. But I didn't. Anyway, yes, spoiler. But we're way too early for me to start talking about that shit. I thought Gleason was great. I thought he fucking killed it, actually, in this movie a lot. I really, he was probably one of my favorite parts. And I thought Tennant as Barty Crouch Jr. He's great in everything he's in, though.
I thought he was terrible, too.
Really? Wow.
That's awful. Yeah.
Wait, who do you think did well?
Yeah, right. Not Michael Gambon. It can't be Michael Gambon.
No way. No,
I thought Gambon was terrible in this movie.
Michael Gambon is terrible in this movie.
Like, oh, what was that? My God, dude.
Is that like the Ricola guy like having a stroke?
Dude, so he loses his accent multiple times throughout this movie. It seems like he goes, and I don't know his background enough if he is actually British or American, but
I think he's Irish.
He's British. Yeah, no, I think Jeremy's right. I think he's actually
his okay, accent of who Dumbledore has been the past three movies does not continue exactly. It's not consistent in this one because there's times that he just loses what accent he's going for completely. And it slips into something else wildly that it pulls you out of this. It pulled me out of the scene like multiple times. Like, it's no, dude.
It's like that in the editing is bad. Like that scene where Harry finds out we finds out the pensive and like he gets into it. And then after he gets out of the pensive, like he has that discussion with Dumbledore and like Pumpkin Bones. Like he's like a he's so overacting like the whole like within like 3 minutes. Said, like,
could you put your name in the cup? Are you talking about that?
Yeah, when he's like choking
because,
on Harry.
Because in the book he's just calm about it. And then he's like he's about to like strangle the kid.
He's choking the fucking child out, dude. Like, put your name in the cup.
It's insane. I'm like, what's going on?
Completely. To me, it's
and also hate place. How little you see Snape in this movie too. Snape is all over the book.
Agreed.
However, there's some great information I got off of him throughout this movie that probably was explained more in the book, but
it is.
And I don't give a shit about spoilers because if you're listening to this, you've probably seen the movie, and if not, there's no reason for you to be fucking listening.
And probably have read the book, I would hope.
So. Without expecting some spoilers, but
exactly.
Yeah,
this movie came out in 2005.
Yeah, enough. Yeah, if this was Dune 2, then okay, but fucking chill, dudes. But yeah, for to find out he's a Death Eater to me was like, whoa. And he's like, he was a fucking spy and everything. I was like, yes, dude, that makes so much sense.
Oh man, that's sure, the book. They get so in depth and really great into the book, and the movies like kind of gloss like a fucking flea's butt hair on it, just barely grazed the surface, unfortunately. But it's very fascinating. Snape's character is probably. Him and Sirius Black are my favorite in the books. It's always a toss up between them, but it always goes back to Severus. Like he's just so well fucking written in the books, and you have to. That's why I know you're going to. I know.
Alan Rickman.
So much.
Alan Rickman.
And Alan Rickman is impeccable.
Played it fucking amazing in this movie yet again. He did a great job of acting in this movie yet again. To me, I think he was on fucking point. But Jeremy might say
he's
otherwise.
Barely in it. Yeah, he's just barely in it.
Hey, man, I'm just telling you, I'm just being honest with you guys. Like, they're not good at the movie. But Alan Rickman is good in the movie. The point for me is that, like, they didn't give Alan Rickman enough shit to do because he has plenty of shit to do in the book. And, like, here they just kind of just silence him for the most part. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, he's good in his scenes, but, like, there's a lot of scenes where, like, we talked about the last movie and how much Severus Snape is a real fucking asshole in that book. He's more of an asshole in this movie, too. And it's there's nothing for him to do here.
All important character building for the overall major payoff that you get in the end.
Exactly.
And it's just so poorly delivered in the movies.
He's just the only thing the only exciting part he has in this movie is that he smells the bottle. He goes, Polyjuice potion. Like it's the most, and he snaps the bottle back and like, oh shit, like shit's happening. Whoa. But like, It's like they give nothing to Severus to do. And Severus,
I thought he was going
to
take a shot. No.
incredibly compelling character. So
okay. McGonagall is excellent as always, but Maggie Smith is great in everything she's in.
Agreed.
Yeah.
I do like the Alistair fucking stare down. Like, oh, she's about to like rip your dick.
She's
off.
Also a very likable character. She's also a very likable character, too, that works in her way. But in my opinion, so was Hermione's been a likable character for the first 2.5 movies. Right. Dude, this one, she's got like no redeeming qualities, I don't think, throughout the entire movie. There's barely any times that I'm like rooting for her, wanting her to catch a double.
For Hermione?
Yeah. I don't really think
she's doing anything wrong. She's just becoming an adolescent, dating whoever she wants.
Oh. Yes. I understand that. And that's totally her, like, go to town. There's no reason why she should be with. I'm not in that court at all. I don't give a fuck who she's with or what she does. I really could give a fuck. I'm not rooting for her to be with.
Oh, dude, she's rooted for even less in the books too with the spew thing. She is not liked for it at all.
Well, that I'm saying that completely aside, there's only two parts of the redeeming for her is when she comes to save, like, or at least try to help Harry a couple times. But for the most part, she's attacking the boys. Like, this is the real separation, attacking the boys completely. But also, Ron's a fucking idiot. Too, who plays things like a complete dumbass and deserves what he's got coming his way, but
because he does.
This is there's so much teen hormone shit that's going on in this movie, and I fucking hate teen hormone shit. It's just like emotional shit that doesn't matter in the long run, and it's like, to me, I don't have patience for it, and it's
I'm just, part seven. Gonna get part one and part two.
So it made me pissed off at both Ron and Hermione throughout this movie, but at the same time,
oh, just wait till part five. It gets so much worse.
It's weird because like Hermione helps
Harry five out. Is the worst.
Hermione helps Harry out a lot in this book because she does. You root for her the
as you
I would like to see that
as I do. I root for her the whole time. Of course, I mean, the movie is. It makes sense for me in the movie. I mean, like Harry doesn't really say yay or nay. He's kind of just stuck in the middle. Ron is pissed off and yells at Hermione. Hermione's pissed off and yells at Ron. I mean,
throughout the books, Hermione never really does anything that really I don't see as I could justify why she's pissed off. You know what I mean? Like,
you're saying it's even appropriate through all for the a books, 14-year-old to act that way, a 14-year-old girl to act the way she does in the way that. I mean,
at least throughout the books, I never like all the other characters really piss me off in certain ways or facets. Hermione never really does.
Yeah, Hermione never really
does. And Neville and poor Neville.
Yeah, poor Neville. Yeah, man, big time for sure. I mean, I just Hermione's just. I think she's just the smartest witch of her time, as Sirius says, and the greatest witch of her time, and she is. I mean, she's just kind of this. She's dealing with this the best that she can with two boys. I mean, they're two idiots. Like,
she's a girl. They're all kids, you know? They're all fucking kids.
I mean, we even have, like, there's a scene later on, like, in another book where Sirius Black and Severus shake hands, and, like, they act like children still. It's just like, what are we doing? Like, it's just, like, we're still here? Like, you're fucking boys, man. Boys apparently just... You know how it is. Like they.
Well, did Neville get it in? Because he says he got it in, and it sounded like a very.
No, he did not get it in, Tron.
He says it, and I feel like it's a very McLovin.
He says, like, "I just got in." Me.
I just. Yeah.
Like, I just got into the room.
Okay. All right. I don't know, man. I don't know if that was his. Like, I could dance. I fucked. Dude, I fucked tonight, guys.
I did fall in love with Fleur Delacour, that actress, Clemence Posey is her name.
Oh, yeah.
Which I like, too, because her and Brendan Gleeson reunite again in Bruges. They're both in that movie.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't realize that. All right.
I don't think they have any screen time together, but they're both in that movie. Great fucking film, too.
Great movie, yeah.
I thought she was great as Fleur Delacour. Like, actually, when I read that character in the book, it's like I picture her completely.
I agreed, yeah.
Wow. And another character that you see more, a little bit more of later on in the books too, which I really kind of surprised me the first time I read through all of that. I kind of like the way her character went and how that path goes or whatever.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, but everything about Cedric Diggory, I just fucking feel so bad for this guy in this movie, man. Like, goddamn,
bad for Cedric Diggory, man.
Because he's a great character in the book as well. He really is.
He's a really nice guy the whole time.
And he has the whole fucking, you know, Potter stink shit, which is in the book, but he's always kind of like, man, like, fuck, I'm sorry, dog. He's like, you know how idea, it is. You know how it goes.
Some idea.
Stupid bullshit. Yeah, exactly.
Well, me seeing fucking Patterson in this, Patterson, to me, it was a total fucking curveball completely.
You got to start from somewhere, man. So.
Yeah, no, for me, I didn't know this was one of his earliest roles. So I had no idea he was in this. You have to understand. This
I know.
Totally
it's just like the last one, you carry Oldman, you had no idea he's in it. Or TV.
Yeah, true. Yeah, I don't know why it was like I knew he was like the heartthrob thing at the time. And in this movie, again, there's hormones. And so the girls come by and the guys fucking drool and the fucking, you know, it's same thing goes on when Patterson enters the stream, it's fucking Pattinson. And then everyone's just like, oh man, like he's so fucking hot. And I'm like, oh, wait, is that? And it like took me a minute to be like, he's kid Robert Pattinson right now. Is that really what's fucking happening? That it's like, it really, I don't know.
Like Twilight was like 4 years later, some shit like that. It was like, what the? Yeah. I didn't know who he was when I first saw this. Obviously, I don't think anybody.
Oh,
did.
Yeah. I don't think he had a name at that point. But yeah.
Right.
And yeah.
Surprise. They do like, it is kind of strange that like he's like his introduction here is kind of weird, like him jumping down from the tree. It's kind of bizarre. Like in the book, you just like shake hands, like, hey, how you doing? You know, they're all pretty nice.
Yeah.
And casually each other. And his dad, Amos, is a prick, a total prick. He's like,
yeah,
can you believe it? You beat fucking the great Harry Potter. He's just like, dad, I didn't, you know, it was the weather was bad, man. There was Dementors. He fucking fell off his broom. He broke his fucking arm. Like, it's not right. Like, you can't just keep fucking building and building on this. And there's a lot more of that stuff in there. I wish there's a little bit there where Amos holds his hand up before they go to the maze, and he's like, what are you doing? Like, he pulls his arm down. He's like, hey, all right, cool. Calm down. It's fine. But, like, yeah, he's a really great character in the book. In the movie, when we get to the hedge stuff, he becomes – the aggressiveness is kind of bizarre because there's really not that kind of – there's not really that aggressiveness in the book, really. It's more like it's teamwork. I mean,
well, throughout the rest of the movie, the teamwork's there. I feel I was really rooting for him, honestly, because it seems like he's a genuine guy. I mean, he helped Harry exchange, you know, secret for secret when it came to how to handle the eggs. So. Right.
And Harry does it same with him with the first one with the dragon. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But in the scene where they're running through the maze, the hedge maze, like he's like grabbing Harry's shirt and Harry's grabbing him. None of that stuff happens in the book. There's no grabbing each other. They're helping
each
other.
Is there the moment where Harry's just like, man, fuck this guy, I'll let him die?
Even though it's
completely against his personality.
It's not that moment.
Like I found this part. There's a bunch of different obstacles on the third task. Like a Sphinx guarding the closest route to the Tried Wizard Cup, who only move aside and refrain from attacking if a riddle is answered correctly. Right. Other obstacles include blast-ended Scroots, Bogarts, an Acromantula, and a golden mist that turned things upside down.
That's called
a golden shower. No.
Upside down gold mist?
What's her name? Screaming, and he goes through the fog. It's like, fuck it, goes through the fog, and all of a sudden everything just turned back upside down. He's like, what the fuck's going on, dude? And he basically manages to get himself back out of the fog again, which is really cool.
Was there still the Shark Boy and Merman and Barnacle Boy fucking?
Yeah, that's all there.
That's all still there.
The difference is, though, is that in the book, Harry gets there before anybody else, though he's the slowest one to get out there because he fell asleep in the library. Longbottom didn't give him the fucking the gillyweed. Fucking Dobby shows up, wakes him up. Dobby gives him he reads all the fucking books and he figures out this gillyweed and gives him the gillyweed. He heads out there in his fucking clothes from like last night and just takes off his shoes and socks and just goes in some cold ass water on the shore. And they say go. Everybody's making fun of him and shit. And he jumps in the water and he barely makes it in. But then he's the first one that gets there because, interesting fact, Moaning Myrtle, her toilet flushes her out that second of the lake, and she points him in the right direction, and he gets there first.
Yep.
And doesn't that go against the entire point of the movie? Because if the whole thing is cheating. But if Mad-Eye isn't leading him to get the cup, isn't that a huge part of him getting the cup? Like in the movie, having that.
And it is in the
book is different, dude.
Okay. Okay. So well,
no,
so
but you're I thought Mad Eye was the one who directed Dobby to Mad give him that information as well.
Oh, but isn't Dobby still technically Harry's?
You're right, Mike. You're right.
Yeah.
Friendly or whatever. Isn't Dobby?
Yes, still Dobby unwittingly. He's not trying to, because he thinks Mad Eye is Mad Eye, and so he takes the information given to him.
I understand. And,
yeah.
Okay, so he thinks he's still helping Harry, but. Technically, he's just doing Mad Eye's bidding,
right? Which, and Mad Eye ultimately helps Ron help Harry. Yeah.
Okay. So that's still
he did not. He did not count on Moni Myrtle to point him in the right direction. I mean,
exactly.
Once he gets to that city with the mermaider, he gets to that city and like he sees all the people lined up. He finds a sharp stone and starts to cut everybody out of it. He cuts Ron first. He's like, well, shit. No one's here yet. So he starts cutting Hermione next. But then Cedric shows up and he's like, sorry, I got lost. And he takes Hermione up. And then Victor Crumb shows up and he's trying to bite the fucking rope with the stupid shark head. So Harry taps him on the shoulder. He's like, hey, take this. And he cuts the fucking rope and he leaves. And then Harry's just hanging out for a long time, waiting for LaFleur to show up. And she doesn't show up because she's already been taken away by the Grindelows. And so he's like, fuck it, I'll take it. But then all the mermen people are like, no, just one, man. It's just one. And every time Harry tries to speak, just a bubble comes out. So they don't understand what he's saying. So he's having this hardcore time. He's like going to like mer people and like trying to ask him for this spear to cut rope and shit. And they're like, no, fuck it. Leave me alone. And he's like, just bubbles are coming out the whole time. He can't speak to anybody. So he basically just has to threaten everybody with a fucking wand to leave him alone so he can cut both these people out to bring them back to shore. It's a pretty intense scene, honestly.
Yeah, it is. It's actually kind of terrifying too.
A merman pops. A merman.
But the cool part though is that when Harry's going up, when he starts to lose his power from the Gillyweed, the mer people like have like total respect for Harry Potter, and like they applaud him and everything, and they talk to Dumbledore about it and everything. Like they really, and the chief of that town, that mer people town. Is a lady. It's a queen, and it's really cool. And her and Dumbledore speak Mirmish to each other, and they have a lot of respect for Harry Potter. Man, he didn't give a shit how late he was. He was an hour late, so. But it was it's a really great, cool, intense fucking scene. Well written,
right?
I mean, I liked it. I honestly, there's a lot of this movie I really liked. The
me too
fantasy aspect of it, the ship turning upside down, and the other schools showing up, and. There's a lot of it that I thought was fucking sick, dude.
I like the costumes they wear for like to do the tryouts. I like all that stuff too, with soccer costumes, kind of like or rugby costumes they wear.
Right.
I like all that stuff too. It's really cool.
Yeah, I thought the costume design, production design looked really fucking good all across the board, man.
And of course, yeah, I totally agree, man. The whole when Harry comes out to meet the Horntail, like the whole summit with the rocks and shit.
Right.
And we got fucking George making bets, man. And we have, you know, it's fun. I wish we had more of the we had Ludo in here, because Ludo was like the whole guy who started the whole bet situation.
Yes, and the fucking he owed money to the goddamn Weasleys. <Yeah. laughs> And so many money people, to
goblins apparently. And shit too.
Yeah, it's so just many like, people.
It's incredible. Yeah, we get a little bit of that towards the end too, which is really fun and fascinating. I mean, it even shows us a little bit more about sort of the kind of like what we were saying before, like the kind of a streamlined story, the whole scene with like the death, what are they called? The
Death Eaters. No,
The Death Eaters with the whole camp and everything where everything's being lit on fire. But like the fact that in the book we have more of like, we get to see more of like the Death Eater sort of playful situation where they just like fucking float people up and just like watch them 360 spin in the air and shit. And they take that fucking dude who is a tent renter guy, and they basically torture him and his family.
Yeah, it's fucking brutal.
Pretty brutal. And then Mr. Weasley has a pretty great plan. He the fact that Mr. Weasley really takes all the kids out to the edge of the forest and then runs back to the camp to help fight the Death Eaters.
Mm. Yeah, at least gets them out of the way.
Yeah, all that stuff here
none of this.
It's all gone. Harry just passes out and then wakes up at some point.
Well, I mean, and also just the whole Quidditch fucking World Cup is not even there. Like, that's what pisses me off.
That seemed like a very fast pass through, by the way, in the movie, for sure. It seemed just like a go by.
It's a long part of the book.
Yeah, it's
really you guys said it since the start, like how important Quidditch was throughout the books. And yeah, the movie just seems to have like one Quidditch thing and it lasts like 4 or 5 minutes and then it's on to the rest of the movie.
Yeah. I mean, the Quidditch match here is the only Quidditch match we have in the whole book because when the Triwizard tournament happens at Hogwarts, they take over the Quidditch field. That's where they make the maze. And the maze in the movie is like insane. It's so massive. But in the book, it's just like the size of the Quidditch field, which is the size of a football field. So yeah, it's kind of bizarre.
Speaking of the Quidditch field, it seems like at the start, when the Weasleys end up getting the nosebleed section, isn't that probably the best section to have, like in a Quidditch game, because everything's happening in the air?
and it could happen. God knows they could be in the stratosphere by the end of this fucking match.
Which seems to happen almost every match. It seems like everyone gathers around and the battle happens somewhere they can't see it happening almost every single match.
Right. Seriously.
And they're just sitting around like assholes staring at an empty field at the bottom and these little goalposts and just being like, I think I hear something roaring in the background. I wonder what that is.
Well, they're magical.
There's got to be like some magic instant replay where you watch it live in your own
anybody's got it.
And in this movie, they do. They have in this movie, they also have box seats that Mr. Weasley was able to get, which they're good seats. And then they buy not sneaker scopes, but I forget what they're called. But they're like basically binoculars where they can like slow down the match. They can do instant replays.
Oh, that's dope.
Yeah, I forget what the scopes were called, but Harry buys them for him, Hermione, and Ron. But yeah, they go back and watch, can zoom in and shit, and then Harry gets lost in some parts of the scenes because he's so focused on how fast the crumb is moving and his sort of way he plays the game. But yeah, there's some more cool stuff that's introduced in this movie.
The Malfoys seem to play an extremely small part in almost every movie I've watched so far, minus Lucius a little bit more, but his son seems to be like, literally he says something dumb and gets punched in the face or turned into something or gets his ass kicked almost every single movie. It doesn't seem like he's actually a nemesis of any sort.
You gotta wait, man. It's gonna happen next movie. That's where shit starts gonna hit the serious. He's a joke for now. Well,
he's a joke four movies in. I mean, that's insane.
It's
mystique building. I get it. Yeah. It relies very much on that, even in the books, with the actual fear of everyone else around that builds his kind of mystique for him,
Right.
This privileged kid.
But there's really no payoff until this movie.
Yeah. And we don't see it here in the movie. We see it in the book. Like literally, there's a payoff with Malfoy in this book at the end, where it's like, I told you at the beginning of first term, like the first year, you could have been on my side. You didn't want to be on my side. So now you're going to pay the consequences for not being there, because now, obviously, Voldemort's back and you're on the wrong fucking side. And I tried. And well, see what happens, man. The ending of this book is it's very dark. Like the whole, like things change. You feel it. The air changes big time. Like,
it ends in the movie is just that. I mean, Hermione basically was like, nothing's going to be different, is it? And everyone kind of agreed. And it's like, well, let's just move forward kind of thing. It's kind of like the vibe at the end of the movie,
That vibe in the movie is so bizarre to me, because like she's so kind of like whimsical and happy, and it's
someone just died.
A dude died
30 minutes ago.
Not just that, but a cool ass dude just died. Like one of the good guys just died, which fucking and a kid. Yeah. There's, and then again, it seems like in this universe, there's a lot of people like questioning Dumbledore's leadership.
It gets worse.
in a corporate scenario, having a child die under your command, like, and also putting people repeatedly in grave danger and almost dying constantly,
John Landis killed two people. He didn't go to jail.
I mean, three.
Three.
Two of them children, for fuck's sake.
Decapitated.
They were just the wrong color.
Oh, you guys touched on Longbottom for a second, on Neville.
Neville.
He's another, it seems like, extremely underrepresented character. Just another.
He's incredibly important, and they just, the movies don't do the guy justice at all.
Mike, do you want to explain how the deepness we get here with the Longbottom family?
No, because we can't yet. We can't start in this movie because you read the book recently. Notice in the film why Neville, Chris, you notice in the film why he's like the Crucio curse is when he is Cruciatus is very bothered by. And, you know, Hermione's like, stop it. You can tell it's bothering him.
With him, and he stands by and stares at, and there's a tear rolling down the glass stained window.
Yes.
And
yes. I don't know if that is explained in this movie or not, because I thought it was it's explained in the fifth book, right, Jeremy?
It's actually explained in this book.
Okay. So are you sure?
Yes.
Okay. So,
First off, it's not these. I want to mention real quick. I like the crab lobster thing that Mooney uses. It's pretty cool.
It reminds me of something from Starship Troopers.
That's a real insect. I'm almost sure of it. I think it's a not a sans, but what the fuck are they called? Tell you guys.
Gordon Ramsay probably put a knife through its brain and cut it up and boiled it at some point. But I will say
it's a type of desert spider, a camel spider is what it's
camel spider. Okay. Yeah. So in the book, it's they're just spiders, like regular spiders, right?
Okay.
They're discussing the three curses, right? And we find out that Mooney asked people to raise their hands and talk about curses, and the Cruciatus curse is brought up by Neville, because Neville's parents were Aurors back in the day, and Voldemort found them, and then they basically used that curse on them and made them go insane. And Harry thought that they died, and he's like, they're not dead. Now they're insane. They're insane mongos now, and he visits them every weekend fucking grandma. Yeah,
but I thought you didn't realize he visited that until the fifth book. I thought that was the fifth book.
No, it's this book. Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah, it's pretty dark and deep pretty quickly, because after he does that scene happens in the classroom, that's where Moody comes out and goes, hey, come upstairs and have a cup of tea. I had a couple of books that I think you really like. And that's where he brings in the herbology. And that's sort of like
in the movie, but that doesn't happen in the book. Yeah. I mean,
it happens in the book, because he's like, that's when at the end where he's like, you know, I tried to tell this dumbass Longbottom to tell you about the gillyweed didn't work. So I got fucking Dobby to figure it out for him. So fucking Barty Cross Jr. is a very manipulative piece of shit in this book. It's incredible. We're going to get to it. You do not understand the depth of this character that this movie skims the fuck over. It's insane. Like it's incredible to me how much you skim over in this book and how much I cried twice today listening to this book.
Really?
For real. Yeah. Cheered up, man. Big time.
Damn, dude.
It's really sad. It's like really tragic and sad. Like it hurts. It's the feels pretty hard.
Damn.
If you guys, Mike, should I mention the whole like Azkaban thing with Barty Cross Jr.?
Yes.
That's in the movie. Important. Yeah, that's very important.
Okay, so big thing about this movie's missing is missing Sirius Black. We get like 3 minutes of much. You get like a minute of Sirius Black.
You get the fire face, which was awesome on the IMAX. Like, awesome. That looks cool.
Yeah, that's really rad.
And that does happen that way in the book, that them contacting each other that way.
Right. Eventually they get a letter and they meet Sirius Black as what do they call his name?
Frumple? Padfoot?
They call him, he's like, if you write me a letter, write it as like Scrumples or some shit, some stupid dog name. I forget what it's called, but But yeah, he is Padfoot because the chapter's called The Return of Padfoot, or Padfoot Returns. Right. But they meet him in Hogsmeade. They go like way outside Hogsmeade. They go to a cave, and that's where basically Sirius Black explains everything about what's going on with Barty Crouch and Barty Crouch Jr. and the prisoner of Azkaban. And so Barty Crouch Jr. Was a Death Eater,
right?
And in the book, they in the movie they kind of they really really just like go past everything because you have three more characters you're going to see later on in the movie that were part of this trial that has them sentenced to life in Azkaban. In the book, it's the sentencing is really sad because not only is Barty Crouch sentencing his only son to Azkaban, but his mother is also out in the crowd as well. And he's just crying for like mother, father, please. You know, I'm going. And Barty Crouch is like, I have no son. All that shit. Eventually you find out that they create a Polyjuice potion where the mother becomes Barty Crouch Jr. to take his place in Azkaban. So Barty Crouch Jr. takes Polyjuice potion and becomes his mother to get out to escape Azkaban.
What?
Yeah. So his mother dies in Azkaban.
Yeah.
It's some real Oedipal fucked up shit.
Reverse Oedipal fucked up shit.
Holy shit.
And the house elf Winky knows all of this stuff. And at the beginning of...
And Winky is their house elf, the Crouch house elf, and they fired Winky, right?
Yeah, well, the house elf is caught at some point when the Death Eaters release. They kind of converge over after the game has already happened, and the Death Eaters are there, rocking and rolling and destroying shit. And they see the dark mark head up in the sky, and everybody evaporate. Yeah,
and disapparate. And,
I think it's like apparate. They find Winky with a wand in the bushes, kind of unconscious a little bit, and you find out it's Harry's wand, and they sort of blame, well, the crazy part is Amos Diggory, who is Cedric Diggory's dad, who's part of the Ministry of Magic, blames the fuck out of Winky, and basically Crouch is just like, he's so overwhelmed by like, my own fucking elf fucked me basically over. And
she gets
banished and gets her clothes and gets banished. But, but like it is so deep and dark and fucked
up. There's so many more elements. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. It's like insane, man. It's truly incredible. Like it's really well written.
on Amos Diggory, I will say played incredibly emotionally as a role.
I agree. I think he's great.
Oh, great
that's
acting.
My son, my Jeff boy,
Roll. My boy.
That's brutal. That was heart crushing, dude.
That's brutal.
Oh,
you feel it,
that
man.
Gnarly, dude.
It's really interesting too that it's not a part of the book. The part of the book is this like Fudge is there, Dumbledore's there, and Fudge is like, listen. Amos is coming. He's coming soon. Like, what are we going to tell him about his son? And it's like, we're going to figure this out. And Dumbledore's like, we're going to figure this out. And like, it's pandemonium the whole time.
Right.
Like, we never get to see what actually happens with Amos and him. But we do have a scene in the book where Harry gets to explain what happens that night with Amos and his wife. And they have that really great discussion. Amos says nothing, but the mother says a lot of nice things. But wow. I mean, yeah, it's a pretty deep
Amos. I'm so unfamiliar with that actor, dude. I'm not sure he looked familiar, but I didn't know.
Oh, I didn't
anywhere.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know, dude. Yeah, sorry.
I think you did a great deal on it. I had it nearby, but I thought he did an incredible job. Honestly, it's like he's not on screen for much time, but he does a great job on being on screen. But there's a few moments that every actor has, I think, on screen that are doing really well.
Very popular British actor.
He's got
like 126 acting credits.
All TV or
incredible.
The majority of which are TV. Yeah.
Majority is TV. Okay. Yeah.
That's big in Britain.
And BBC kind of type.
Yep. That explains it.
A bunch of BBC stuff for sure.
Right. Okay. Incredible. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. He fucking that one line he has, you're just like, oh man, I remember seeing it in theaters and like you talk about just a dead silence.
Silence. Absolute
fucking total silence. Except for a couple sniffles. Because, you know, this is when it was kind of fun. You know, we saw it in IMAX, so there's a lot of huge fans there. You know what I mean? All dressed up and shit, which I always love seeing that stuff. And, like, yeah, it was just, like, literally, I hate so cheesy, but just a pin drop, man. You could hear it everywhere in that place.
Right. Oh, man. I agree. I was one of them, dude. I mean, when you listen to that or read that scene with the mother taking the place of the son, man, I teared up. I was like, man, it's so sad and brutal. Like,
yeah, because ultimate sacrifice, dude. That is fucking nuts.
Why it's really, really sad, though, is when it's towards the end, and it's where, like, Severus puts that fucking Telling Truth potion in his mouth while fucking Dumbledore has the wand to his neck, and he's just like, and he, Dumbledore's like brain winky too. Like, you have her see all this happen, and like, he's speaking all this. He can barely stop himself for speaking the truth. He's speaking the truth so rapidly, it's like overwhelming. And in the movie, he's just like, I see yours, you see mine, or some stupid shit. It's like nothing. Like, it's so goofy. Like, it's just so, like, it doesn't work. But, like, in the book, it's like, it's so brutal. You tear up. You hear all this stuff, and you're witnessing everything happening all at once. And he's like, you know, I just took my father as a fool. You know, like, the only reason that Winky's there, because in the book, you don't see this in the movie, Tron, but in the book, when they get to their box, Winky is sitting in a seat for Crouch. But in reality, Winky basically, like, told Crouch, hey, listen, your son hasn't been out in the world for a long time. He's been hidden in this house forever for what he's done. And he's also escaped Azkaban. Let him go out and see Quidditch, because it's his favorite sport. And so he dons an invisibility cloak, goes up there and sits by her, invisible.
Whoa, no shit.
But then he disappears at some point because he steals he steals Harry's fucking wand, and he's the fucking guy that sends up the fucking Dark Mark, because he's just so, like, excited about, like, let's get back to it. Let's
no shit.
Yeah. So she gets blamed for everything, and it's not her fault. And he blames it on her because he puts the wand in her hand. It's fucked up, man. Like,
it is.
Brutal, wow. Shit. Yeah.
Yeah, there's literally a case of, like, a shooter going on right now where the parents got indicted and fucking, I think they got sentenced.
Actually. Well, they were just convicted guilty, both
convicted.
Of them.
Convicted. Okay, good.
Yeah, both of them convicted. Yeah.
Good, good.
Very good, very good.
Leaving the wand out, you know?
Or buying the fucking wand.
Buying the fucking wand and having a maniacal person in the household. It's but to there's things that made me happy about this movie too. A Hagrid-sized bitch in this movie was awesome.
And that is a whole plot line. Yeah, they're actually romantic in the book, and it's just this fucking weird but awesome. I love it. I love it for them. They're great. Also, Rita Skeeter is a fucking animagus in the book too.
She is, yeah
she turns into a beetle. She's unregistered, and that's how Hermione gets the drop on him. And
she gets the drop on her. Yeah,
but she comes back into play later. Yeah,
she is
exactly
massive in this movie, dude.
I know. And she's not a huge part in the book.
No, she's not. No.
Well, I'm saying massive.
I feel like she has more time in the movie than the book. Yeah,
massive in size, not necessarily role, but yeah, she is like three times the size of pretty much all the girls that she's parading around, dude. It's insane.
Madame Maxine.
That's it, Madame Maxine. Yeah, that's
and
a huge.
Then, and Hagrid's just like, he's like,
she eats like some of his beard hair in the movie. Just see that?
Yeah, yeah. She picks it off his chin.
I was like, what the fuck? And he diverts. He does it like, oh, she wants me. Like, he's like, then my dad died.
And he does it right after another fail. Someone else failed on something too, where it was like a clear path to, like, connecting or having a conversation with the chick. It was like back to back with that of just like, love is a strange thing. It was like kind of the message in the movie. It's just like, yeah, sometimes you miss the message and just fucking things, you know, conversation happens. But it seemed like they clicked pretty fucking good, you know?
They get through
the dance towards the end and everything. That was pretty sick.
I agree.
I do love the beard-eating scene. It's pretty great.
Yeah, it literally plucks his very pubic, overgrown pubic hair and just eats
blew my mind.
And how, dude, how funny Hagrid's hair looks in this fucking movie when he combs it. It just looks like someone just dropped a blob of like KY jelly on the top of his head.
It's like, and use like a garden rake to slide it through.
That's like so bad. Which he probably did. And he's like, now I'm beautiful, dude. Now I'm ready for the ball.
He has flour on his fucking chest and shit, too.
Yeah, dude. This is as good as I'm going to get. Like, this is my wedding outfit, basically, dude. Poor Ron getting the fucking again super bad the
dress robes.
Yeah, dress robes, bro. Yeah,
yeah. Brutal. Getting your dad's fucking 1970s version.
Your aunt's
the was it the leisure shoot? The leisure shoot.
Yeah, leisure shoot.
Like looking Bobby Boucher and the Water Boy.
Hell,
I haven't thought about that in fucking years, but
yes. Great good point.
It's like fucking what's his name, Uncle. What's his name from fucking?
Fucking Randy Quaid from.
Yeah, you know about the white shoes.
His goddamn name.
Vacation. I can't remember.
Vacation. But what's his fucking name, Uncle? No, goddamn it.
It's Randy Quaid. You guys are killing me.
The shitter's full. But yeah, it reminded me very much of that guy. Yeah, my Randy Quaid's character in
Vacation. Cousin Keddy. Cousin Eddie. Fucking,
yeah. Cousin Eddie. Cousin Eddie.
Yeah, okay.
Cousin Eddie. Jesus Christ. Thank you.
I had to pull. I literally had to pull it up because you hit me with uncle and I was like, it is uncle something. And I was like, fuck.
Because he technically is an uncle to the other
kids. Yeah, he really is, though. Yeah. That's actually his main role. Okay. So there's in this, we were talking about this very early on in this episode, but, cheating, holy shit. It's very much said at the start, every man needs to like stand for himself and represent themselves in the Triwizard Tournament.
Mm-hmm.
These motherfuckers in Hogwarts had cheated every single opportunity possible much assistance. And so I have a something I say often is and I'm going to go in a side skirt for like 2 seconds. But way back in my surveying days, when we used to have to chop line in the woods, I worked with this fucking guy who was Salvadorian and he was ratchet, dude. But we went out to go grab some food after like just sweating our dicks off and going into this place that was a total shithole. And there's this girl who was all dressed up and there's this fucking dude who's like twice her age and they were making out next to us the entire time. And he goes over to me and goes, and he doesn't say anything else. He just goes, cheaters, dog. I was like, what are you talking about? He's like, cheaters, dog. I was like, what the fuck? Bro, what do you say? He's like, they're fucking cheaters, man. He's like, that guy's too old. He's probably got a wife who's old. She's not young. He's like, he's got a ring on his finger. A fucking cheater, dog. And so now every time I see somebody cheat, like I did in this fucking movie, I turn to Jazz. This isn't our lexicon, dude. We both, and it was like, I turned to her and I was like, every time that fucking somebody was helping out Harry or helping out parents, and I was like, cheater's dog. And she was like, cheater dog. It was total fucking cheating, dude. They were fucking hooking each other up the entire match. Yeah. But I guess, you know, there's no honor in victory for them. Because that's some bullshit, dude. There really is, like.
It really is.
Oh, yeah.
Think of really Crumb. Is. Crumb didn't have anyone helping him, did he? I don't know in the books.
I can't remember if the fucking that guy's a fucking Death Eater.
Yeah, he's a bad guy. Yeah,
the Frenchie.
I mean, he's got the mark. He's got the mark. You see it in the movie as well.
He's worried.
Well, I'm saying young Crumb that was doing the whole, but also the Frenchie girl too didn't have anyone really helping her. Like
I'm assuming Madam, what's her name?
Yeah, Madam Maxine. I mean, yeah.
So like, you're saying everyone is cheaters, dog.
Yes.
Cheater dog. Cheater
I mean, dog. The fact that in the movie,
this you is see real life. Who you know, I mean, and who you blow.
True. Yeah, true. You'd hope Harry Potter life would be different, but it is who you know and who you blow, I guess.
I mean, in all fairness, I mean, like, Harry didn't put his fucking name in the Goblet of Fire, so like he needed some fucking help, so he didn't know what the fuck's going on. So
exactly,
he got help, and I appreciate that. But I mean, the fact that Hagrid goes on a fucking date with Madame Maxine, and Hagrid had told him, he's like, meet me tonight and midnight, and he wears his visibility cloak, and he sees all this shit happen. I'm like, yeah, I mean, whatever, it's fine. It's dragons; you can still fucking die from it. So who fucking knows?
Dude, Harry goes out of his way. Yeah, he goes out of his way to like be like, yeah, dude, we're gonna face dragons tomorrow, so like, just be ready for that. Mm-hmm. That, mm-hmm. Yeah,
right. Yeah,
that's yeah. Cheater's dog right there. That's your fucking within your school. You're doing it, dude.
Literally, dude. Like, Harry Potter is a dude who wouldn't be the dude he is until the end without his friends. I mean, that's how. I mean, I kind of
exactly. That's how I felt and throughout I think the that's entire series.
Main so point of the yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, I wouldn't be the person I am without you guys. So, like, was, I, yeah. Or Joe or whoever else, my parents, or whatever. But I need you guys. You guys keep me sane every fucking week doing this fucking show. So, we're all Harry Potters. We're all helping each other. We're all Hagrids and Hermiones and fucking Rons.
Yeah, we're more like Hagrids at this point, dude.
Or Sirius Black, honestly. Yeah, Sirius Black
is a Bushy and Burly.
We just want to be around our kids/pets and just fucking, yeah, go down our own paths. But yeah, but the whole leading point to that is absolutely just, I totally get what you're saying. Like, these are the formative years of Harry's life. And so, yeah, connection with those that are close to him. But this kid also just kind of showed up, right? I don't really know what, maybe in the books he has a longer connection with Patterson's character.
No, he doesn't. In the last book,
Cedric Diggory.
Oh, Cedric's in, isn't he in book three? I thought, or is he not?
He's in book three. That's where Gryffindor loses because he beats him because after he gets the mentors
right.
come in and he fucking falls off the broom. So he wins. He grabs his snitch. And that's where I was. Even Cho Chang is mentioned also in the last book, which I mentioned in the last episode, because they also have not a fight, but like a game with Hufflepuff. So she's part of Hufflepuff. So yeah, but like
Cho's Ravenclaw, and then Cedric is Hufflepuff. So it's like the first time we're actually getting anything out of, you know, anything except for finally. We're getting something.
They're in the spotlight here in this movie. Yeah.
We're getting something from the other classes. They're
well in the movies. You never really get a whole lot, but you get some. In the books, you definitely get a lot more for sure.
The book you get a lot.
Okay.
Yeah. Obviously, yeah.
And you get a lot more.
But even still, you don't get a whole lot.
No,
I would think with Quidditch it comes up a lot because they're all competing against each other internally.
Yeah, but it's still more you're just kind of inserted into playing X team today. You know, so it's, you know what I mean.
But Mike is right. Yeah, it's every part of your day sort of situation. You're just
like school. Okay,
we're doing a game this weekend, so these people are part of that game, and yeah.
Okay.
It's mostly just the sneaker stuff too. Like you know, happens to be Diggory's the best sneaker on this side. Cho Chang's a great sneaker on this side, and so is Harry on this side. You got Malfoy catches jack shit.
Wait, Cho Chang's a sneaker. Cho Chang plays Quidditch too. I didn't know.
Yes,
this.
She beats them in part three, right?
Yeah, I think she beats them. She beats them, and so does Diggory.
Did I miss that?
I think we touched on it briefly. Well, I think we briefly touched on it because I remember saying Cho. We do see Cho earlier in in the books. I remember saying something like that. But man, there's just so much missed from the movies to books. It's so easy to forget that shit.
Yeah, the book.
Yeah, she to me, she just kind of first showed up in this movie.
And she does
maybe mentioned in the last movie, but really you see her in this movie more. But
yeah, you don't really see her at all. Or him. You don't see him at all. I don't think you see either of them at all in part three. In the movie, in the book, you see them and hear about them, and they're talked about and how good they are as sneakers or seekers. Sorry. But this is where we first really get to see these characters.
Can we get to see them too? Also going through our what do we have? Mixtape episodes that we're basically seeing the fails of trying to date at an early age that they are going through in this fucking movie. The fucking
adolescent abhorrence.
Dude, oh my god.
I mean, Cho Chang is in the next movie. So he's a big part of that movie too. So you'll see more about that.
Even
more
for that too.
Yeah.
In the book, more in the book, but yeah, she's a lot in the movie too. But so did you guys, Mike, I'm not sure if you have, but did you read about this lawsuit in this movie?
Lawsuit?
Maybe.
The sort of weird sisters lawsuit.
No, I don't think so.
All right, so this is there's a big lawsuit that happened to this thing, which is really dumb, but I'm going to read it to you guys. All right, so in the run-up to the film, Warner Brothers approached a Canadian folk group called the Weird Sisters, W-I-R-D, to obtain permission to use the name the Weird Sisters, which in the book is they're called W-E-I-R-D Sisters, for its Harry Potter band. When a deal could not be made, the Canadian band Weird Sisters, W-I-R-D, filed a $40 million lawsuit against Warner Brothers, the North American distributor of the film, as well as the members of the in-movie band, members of Radiohead and Pulp, among others.
What?
Yes, Johnny Greenwood is playing guitar in this fucking movie.
Whoa, my yes. man.
Okay.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was gonna say, okay, I thought that motherfucker looked. I swear to God, because I watched the music video, I was like, no way that's somebody I know. But God, that's gross.
Johnny Greenwood,
I hate it.
Great Johnny Greenwood, for the misuse of their group's name and quote unquote in a deleted scene, they're simply introduced as the band that needs to be that needs no introduction. The
Canadian that is true. Band, I watched that.
Yeah, there you go.
What the fuck?
Introduction stop to release the film in the country. The Canadian band also brought an injunction to stop a release of the film in its country in Canada, as it contained a performance by the identically named fiction and rock band. An Ontario judge dismissed this motion and to avoid further controversy with Warner Brothers, rendered the band unnamed in the film and many derived products. However, in Winnipeg, the Winnipeg-based group continued to pursue the lawsuit. Lead singer Kim Berluk stated in her claim that, quote, consumers will assume that the smaller and less famous Canadian band is trying to take advantage of the Harry Potter fame by copying the Harry Potter's band name, when in fact the reverse is true, end quote. The injunction was dismissed. The band is ordered to pay all costs. And as of March 2010, the lawsuit was settled and details are sealed.
I was literally going to say the details of it were going to be they settled. And what they settled for, and I'm going to tell you right now, was probably $100,000.
And maybe court costs. Yeah.
And maybe court costs.
100 Canadian bucks.
Which is like the sound of Harry Potter farting is $100,000 in this movie, because it's another $900 million movie or whatever the fuck it is.
I think it's 150 million, but yeah.
I'm saying in profit.
I mean, it grossed way more. Yeah.
Yeah. It grossed way more, 900 mil. So this is a fourth movie in the row that was almost $1 billion. So for them shit out $100 to make this go away means nothing to them. I will say, having been to and lived in Winnipeg for a little bit of time, there's nothing to do there. It's literally a frozen shithole. You experience weather from negative 40 to negative 50 degrees. You're going to find things to do, like sue a Harry Potter type thing to make money to get the fuck out of the internet. And so I don't blame them in the slightest, because holy fuck, I too would try to find an exit and fuck that place.
Hopefully it's J.K. Rowling's Benjamins.
But that's probably a studio cost eat up, but fuck it, man. Warner Brothers probably had to eat that up, but who cares at this point? That's... then means nothing to them, and it would be a life-changing amount of money to anybody.
It's a waste of fucking time. That's what my favorite part of the ending is. This was a waste of time. That's it. It's over.
Man. Yep.
Fart and especially because this movie was I think in 2005, it was the biggest movie of that year, so it made the most money of any movie that year. And it's the biggest... making movie in the Harry Potter series besides Deathly Hallows Part 1 and Part 2.
Damn.
So, yeah. Big one. Wow. Big one. And the first PG-13 Harry Potter movie.
Well, yeah. Look at the intros. It earned nuts. The intro just gives you vibes of music festival getting fucking shot at. And yeah, like that dude. You totally get the vibe of just like there's a terrorist attack on a fun time. And for me, that's always like, that's always what they target, right? Fun times and terrorist attacks, it's hand in hand. So that holds truer today than ever. you know, doing shit like that. But man, that's a fucking, that intro is a ride, dude.
It's also just bizarre to me that
Death Eaters coming in and fucking lighting everything on fire and just clearing the way.
Right. It's also interesting to me that like the old man character, I forget his first name, his last name is Bryce. I remember that.
Yeah.
Or he comes up there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Frank Bryce comes up there and he's like the movie ruins itself by just showing Barty Crouse Jr. like in the room. Like that's not part of the book at all. It's just Wormtail. It's very strange. Yeah. Like, and they make Wormtail to be like some badass in this movie too. And Wormtail is like the sniveling fucking cowardly fuck the entire time in the book. Like when he gets his, when he cuts his hand off, he cries the whole, like he cries for like whole chapter.
I don't know, like, man. He seems back. Like a bitch in the movie too. He's a very hateable bitch in the movie too.
He does, but yes, he's more competent in the film.
Thank you,
but
master.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
But in the books, he's even more subservient and just fucking pathetic.
Pathetic.
He's
which
a
is what
rat.
Voldemort calls him out for that, dude. He's like, you did this out of fear, not out of fucking respect. So fuck you.
Right.
And yeah, he still gives him a hand.
Yeah,
he does. He hand. Give him just any hand because it looks like a cool
T-1000 hand.
Yeah, like, yeah, right. Like a in the movie, I'm not even sure. It's like a ghost hand. Like Casper's gonna jerk him off at night or something. I don't know.
Well, thank you, Master. I can't wait to beat off with this.
He makes him come on his own face. Oh, what a dick!
What a bitch, dude.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah.
That'd
seriously, be fucking he is. Amazing.
But it's all it takes is the actions of a bitch to fucking turn everything around. And now he's back, dude. Which is insane. Yeah. Voldemort, yeah.
He's back.
That was fucking nuts, dude. Back I actually kind of like that scene. I really like that.
I guess who's back?
Back again. Why is he the size
guy
of, like,
in snakeskin?
He's the size of like a dying chihuahua throughout the movie, but when he drops him in the cauldron, he's the size of a human. Is nuts, dude. Does he instantly? Awesome, dude.
Yeah, it's great. That when it boils up, that weird like discoloration. Yeah. It's awesome. Fucking
look
metal.
Cool.
Dude, I love this cool, scene yeah. too. He's like in
I was like, oh, dude, I hear Cannibal Corpse playing right now.
Yeah,
it's gotta be.
Yeah.
It's gotta
hammer be. Smash face. You know, it's like
brutal.
Fucking Wormtail is the biggest piece of shit, dude.
He is.
And I actually like the I like the introduction here with Voldemort, but I actually like with the book, he comes out of the vat or the cauldron and he's like, Wormtail, robe me. And it's awesome. Like take the robe and like yeah, robe it's and shit. It's fucking that's rad as shit, dude.
But he deserves what he gets too. It's like zero respect towards this motherfucker. He's like, you're still a bitch, but they bring back like all of the Death Eaters too around. And
it's amazing.
Just like, oh, yeah. I love that scene. And starts pulling off masks. It's revealed.
It looks amazing. Time. Yeah.
Now, I didn't know who half of those dudes were.
All part of the book.
Well, and you know, if you caught names, you know, you're Crab.
Which
you're
I'm Goyle. So bad with names.
Okay, like, so yeah. A lot of those are some of the kids names. In Slytherin's dads and stuff. And that's not giving anything away. Crab, Goyle, we've heard that before. They impersonated Crab and Goyle in part two.
Yeah.
The kid versions.
Oh,
I mean,
you're right. Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then, of course, you know, Malfoy.
Right.
It's all Slytherins.
For the most part, yeah.
Yeah.
There are some other additions, Ravenclaw, and I don't think any Hufflepuff.
Yeah.
How good you may be right. It's been so long for me, man. But yeah, there's a lot of more. It's just fucking scarier in the books, man.
No, I'm sure, but I'm gonna go. Well, it was actually, I think, pretty well done in the movie too. But I'll go out there and say the name Hufflepuff. I mean, you're gonna want to avoid being part of that at any point in time.
No, Hufflepuff's great. It's great, great, great.
Yeah,
it's the name of it. I'm not saying that they are necessarily terrible, but god damn it, the name. They had something better than that.
I mean, it's her last name, so.
Yeah, I mean, in the same way that Dumbledore makes someone seem like a dumb goblin, basically, like
or dumb not... door. Hodor.
Dumbledore.
Poor Hodor.
But yeah, the name Hufflepuff. Dumbledore too got stuck with a rough last name, dude. That's a.
It
does seem like the guy
cool.
who's leading.
When it rolls off the tongue from an English accent, it sounds pretty cool.
The reason why is because you guys have read the books and have it like this brings a newfound respect for that name. for me as an outsider, it just looks like dumb is literally the first four letters of the name. And then Eldor, Dumbledore. I don't know. It's for me, it just, it doesn't take away from the character for me at all. But God damn it, dude. The name.
I do like the name Albus. I don't know why.
I love Albus. Yeah, Albus. Yeah. I also like his brother's name too. I forget it now, but it's good. It's also really good.
I remember.
There must be a lot of kids named off of this.
I can't remember either, dude. But yeah,
these, up this series, right? People must have named their kids off of this series for sure. Right?
Oh shit, I wouldn't be surprised. Maybe. But now they're just mixing like tragedy, but it's like TRAGEDIGH shit, like. Braylon or fucking what the fuck ever.
I wanted to name my fucking huge Aliens fan and wanted to name my first son Bishop, but that was
that's a great name.
At least it's a normal name.
Yeah, that got slowed down though over time. Everyone's on board and was just like, I'm not religious. That's probably not.
He's not an android. Sorry.
I remember my being 18 or 19 years old. I told my parents I wanted to name my son Gage, like the kid in Pet Sematary. They're like,
no, the kid
like, yeah, Gage is cool. Like that's fucked up. Don't fucking do that.
What happens when he turns 12? No. You're 12, Gage. After
something that's going to come back and kill me. Can we Coral? Do that? Maybe Coral. Yeah.
Coral! Your 12-gauge Coral! God.
Your son's name but Gage?
That's, that actually knew a couple people named Gage here were actually pretty cool dudes. So I can't, but it was G-A-G-E.
Yeah, same.
Which I would assume that's how you'd spell it as a name, not G-A-U-G-E, because then you're just Goggy.
And now I've never seen Goggy. After you watch like Pitch Black with Vin Diesel, was like Johns, you got the gauge. I can't do it anymore. But Mike, just the heads up of Albus's brothers, Aberforth, which I thought was
Aberforth. Cool. That's Aberforth. A great name.
Yeah, that's a sick name, dude.
Yeah, it's a cool name.
So there's some really badass names in here too. I think Malfoy is a very fitting name for it's who awesome. They are.
Yeah. And Lucius, you kidding me?
Lucius
is
dude.
Yeah, Severus Lucius, Snape.
Yeah. Severus Snape. Dude.
Alliteration, my favorite.
Yeah. I would say 90% of the names are extremely fitting for the characters that play them.
Dude, I said the last episode, Remus Lupin, man, my jam. That's a great fucking
absolutely. And as she tied all that in with his character, yeah, it's
in Sirius Black.
Oh, and the movie,
the best name of all time,
dude. Yes, yeah. Voldemort is also a very menacing name. That is,
it's great, dude. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah. That has all of the
Killing Curse, Avada Kedavra. God damn, Avada Kedavra. That motherfucker sounds just brutal. It really does.
Yeah,
agreed.
And I got to figure out the Latin on that. You know, because she's getting all these curses from Latin
pretext
and a lot of the people's Latin. Names. Yeah,
yeah. All every curse, and it all has the roots of what Latin words are, and you can tell.
Right.
And every time a spell is cast, you're like, oh, like Leviticus, where the fuck it is to raise up out of the water or whatever he says. But it's like, yes, that's kind of the Latin text of to raise up out of something. So. Yeah,
like my white ass, that sounds Latin to me. Close as I'm getting, but no, I agree. And like the light lumos, you know, like shit like that just it makes sense.
Yeah, exactly.
But expecto patronum for the Patronus in the last movie, yeah, that's I like how she worked that into it. I don't know, just expect my Patronus. It's got to be the literal translation.
Expect petroleum? Is there oil happening here?
Oh, God. Oh, America invades.
Yeah, we're drilling in Hogwarts. They've committed terrorist attacks in the United States.
Fuck yeah. Coming to get in to drill another motherfucking hole. Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
But yeah, man, there's so much about this movie. Like, I really, 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 really enjoy. But I guess the more we deviate from the books, it's just more, I know we keep saying it every single time.
I know it angers you guys to do it, but I mean,
it does. No, not at all. Not in any way, shape or form.
Well, you're different.
Makes me upset that you don't know that you haven't read it. Like, I'm not fucking mad at all.
No, for sure. And that's, I mean, for me too. I mean, that's something that you guys got to experience, like, or you especially got to experience seeing this in theaters, which is fucking
sick. Yeah, it was cool, man. It was
that
really
must have
cool.
been a cool-ass experience. I mean, me for seeing it for the first time, too, was just like, oh, this is actually a pretty fucking great movie, honestly. Yeah, there's a couple.
I think Kelly too. Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's a couple things that are missing here and there, and then there's context, but these all are things that I'm giving way to in my position because I'm like, oh, of course. I'm assuming a lot of these things are explained in the book, and I'm giving enough leeway to not judge it as a standalone movie.
Well, and at the same time, it's still a mystery unfolding. So there are don't get me wrong, there's a lot more details and information given, but there's still nothing major is revealed, so to speak. Until we start getting to the fifth one. the next one is like, what the fuck? That's where you probably want to catch up book wise. Just because it's an insane amount of deviations.
Just to sort of circle back with Michael talking about a cadaver. I always considered it to be like a play on Abracadabra, sort of the reverse of that. Sort of like how you say Abracadabra, you open it up, right? Abracadabra, just close it.
Abracadabra.
I could see that, especially on the phonetic point of it. It's almost the same amount of syllables. Yeah. Obviously, slightly different in lettering. Yeah, that's an interesting fucking. I like that.
That's what I always consider it to sound like.
Abra, good Abra.
I feel like
Abracadabra.
I feel like this movie pulls a lot from a lot of historical magical realm type things, and
that being is their oh my god thing, Moonland's beard. I love that.
I love
it's that's so fucking genius. That. It really is.
Moonland's beard.
Harry Potter. Every time, every fucking time.
My word. It's absolutely amazing. Absolutely. There's so many things happen in this fucking this thing, man. It's incredible. Like literally, it is this thing just it just ramps up. Like it truly as a book should, and as a movie that have sequels to it should ramp the fuck up. And it's we're there, man. This thing this is a big thing, man. Like I mean this. I remember seeing this in the theater back in the day, asking my dad to watch Bryce, you know, going to the movie theater, man, you watch him? He's like, you got it. I got to see this fucking movie, man.
Nice. So, right.
Friday night, dude, it was fucking insane. And yeah, I mean, we're all pumped and excited. And like the whole scene with like, with Harry and Voldemort, you know, lock wands, because you talk about the whole, like they're basically brother wands.
And we haven't gotten to that yet story wise though, right?
I don't know how to make sense. Let's not go too far into that.
But it's very what you saw at the end of when they're competing and you saw those spirits kind of come out of it, that comes into play later in terms of wand play. So that's all we'll say.
All I know is I'm not getting my wand in a knot, and Diggers was Diggory done, and that was enough for me to Diggory
okay. Diggory done.
Diggory, diggory, not.
they mention that those wands so quickly in this movie. It's pretty crazy, but like in the book, they definitely explain a lot of that. And they also explain the ghosts. Huge importance
to them. Yeah. Yes, right, that's what I'm saying. What you see there. The apparitions, really? It's not... Is it ghost? Like, it's like, is it fucking? I swear to God, when I saw it through, I was like, "Oh shit, Force Ghost!" Because I actually hadn't read this book before I saw this movie in theaters.
Oh me,
I was either. Just I catching up.
Yeah.
Oh nice.
Yeah. That's why this is why.
Welcome to my hell.
Yeah. Bro, I know. And then I went back. I was like, oh. Fuck.
Well, I'll go through that too.
Yeah, I watched this movie like since Monday. I've seen it basically three times, and I'm like. Holy shit. This is my brain is like fucking fried. Like, holy shit, man. Very different. Incredibly different. But yeah, I'm definitely with Mike. I mean, when I first saw this, I was like, fucking we doing magic ghosts right now? We doing fucking Hogwarts ghosts? Like, what's going on? Like, I don't force ghosts? What is this? But like it's fascinating. Like
force ghosts is the perfect way to describe it.
That was my first thought. I was like, it's oh, so the force, is that Anakin? The battle of the
force. But like glasses? I think, no. I think in the book, like they talk about that. Well, they do talk about it, but I think Dumbledore talks about how they're like shadows, like they're not like obviously not a living, being,
yeah,
or a ghost that lives in Hogwarts. They're just like almost like ghosts that were killed so quickly they don't remember
by that wand.
Right. Yeah. By that wand. They don't. This is like the next thing they remember. They don't remember being alive then to now. They're like, oh shit. It's like Frank Bryce when he comes out of the wand. He's like, oh, so he is a real wizard.
I was just pissed off about a snake a second ago. You know, yeah. Like, what the fuck? Oh, shit.
Okay.
But yeah, but I mean, they're pulling, you know, Harry's parents get pulled out of that and they're from a much longer time in terms, but it has to do with spirits just killed or taken by that wand, that certain wand. That's why. And that's not giving anything away. Dumbledore does mention that in this book. And so that's a part of it that will, a lot of that comes into play later.
There's so much
later on. Yeah.
There's so there, much.
There's of that more coming.
Yeah. There's a hint. There's a hint here, but we figure out more later on.
Yeah. And I'm not, no spoilers, nothing like that. But overall, dude, I fucking love this movie. This is probably one of my more I love one and two because in my opinion, they're closest to the book period, but I love three a lot. But this one is probably, it's close to my favorite movie adaptation of the books throughout.
Same.
Throughout the whole series. Yeah.
I enjoyed it so much. And this is when it gets truly dark. It's fun. We're way there now.
Yeah.
I know in the last one, I was like, ooh, we're getting there. But no, this is truly there.
Bro, we're at PG-13, bro.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, seriously. No,
it's
bullshit.
Growing the, as the audience
books get
grows.
Dark and dark and darker.
It's growing as the
movies
audience
don't
grows.
Live up to it. Yeah,
exactly. And the audience is now getting older to understand this weird hormonal sexual tension thing and all this weird shit that's going on in the background, but also adolescence and death and finally understanding mortality and all this other shit that's involved with this movie. This is when things start to get real. And this is when I'm going to truly start appreciating the series. And now I really got to get to the books.
Yeah. When getting real goes wrong.
When keeping it real goes wrong.
Chappelle. But I agree, man. And I need to reread them at this point too. I'm so far behind and I'll probably just do audiobooks. I feel like that's the easiest way.
That's exactly what I'm doing. Yeah. I'm going to just get the audiobooks and go through.
That's what I've been doing, man.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, you got Jim Dale there. He basically just brings you right in every time. So, hey, you're never going to lose with Jim Dale in these books. That's why.
Yeah. I'm excited about that. I'm excited about the great voice acting and everything that's going to be.
Me too.
That's a huge part for me, man. That's a good audiobook.
It helps so much. Right.
Oh my God, dude. Yeah.
I mean, I mentioned the last episode, this is my favorite one. I think it still really is my favorite one. I think it really, really is because it's just so exciting to bring this sort of, you know, they speak about it in the book a little bit, but this, the Triwizard tournament is
right.
Been dead for so long because so many people died from it. So they had to cancel it because, you know, obviously people died. But like this sort of is fascinating. And also the Harry Potter is sort of like a John McClane character in this one. Like literally has no idea. He's just every man just going into it. Like I'm just going to do the best that I can. Like the fact that he learns Accio with Hermione to get his broom. Right. And
when he gets Accio, the broom, yeah.
Accio, whatever, but he gets it, and he's in the book. He just kind of flies. He flies around the dragon a bunch, just to distract it, and also, but to annoy it like a fucking fly, just to open up enough so we can grab the fucking egg out of a bunch of other eggs.
Oh yeah, the dragon and never takes off in the book. It's
never takes
it
off.
Stays
he never
on
breaks
the chain.
Yeah, he never breaks the chain, but he never leaves. But he does that, and the fact that he barely makes it through the water thing, that's the underwater scene's awesome, and then he barely makes it through the maze, but also which I find really interesting in the book, where before he gets to the Triwizard Cup, Cedric is pretty close ahead of him, but Harry saves him and shoots a spell at this massive spider that comes out of nowhere. And the spider attacks Harry and brings him up like 15 or 16 foot in the air and drops him after Cedric hits him with a spell, a stunning spell. And Harry hits the ground, basically fucking has like a compound fracture. His leg is totally fucked up. And he's barely, barely walking through it, all of it. And he has to fight the fucking Dark Lord at the end and dodge some of his shit. He's totally like, his feet, it's like John McClane's feet are just totally fucked at the end. He's totally fucked up at the end. He has to do all these things, see his mom and dad become, come out of his, out of the wand and all this shit. He's just like, okay, yeah, fuck. It's just constantly like, fuck, okay. Like, and has to be steady as a 14-year-old the whole time. And it's so, and
like, yeah, but I consider such a leader that there's people in his class that are years ahead of him and is still considered to be the best wizard so much that Dumbledore and him are in this weird.
No one's helping thing. This fucking kid. No one's helping this kid. They're like, hey, they throw him to the wolves. It gets worse in the later books, Chris. It gets worse.
Wow, dude.
It's absurd. The fucking six book. Yeah, the six book, it's almost egregious the way
it's, man, it's like brutal. Like over the head, like speed. Like, man, yeah. It's like
we call them plot holes. Gotta have the story like, work right. Gotta wait till we get to that point. But yeah, man.
That book is so fucking sad and brutal. Yeah,
I know. But, and there are payoffs, but there are payoffs. You gotta go through the shithole to get through them, you know?
Yeah, man, it's rough.
The trenches.
But it's literally like, this is like the beginning. Like, we don't even get to see, you know, we don't even see and hear like all the fucking like the Ministry of Magic bullshit that happens in this movie about the whole, like, you know, Dumbledore talking to Fudge about, like, you know, Voldemort's back. And he's like, fuck no, he's not back. You're going to believe a fucking kid? Like, you're going to believe this kid? And it's all this like government bullshit that happens within this book. Like, literally at the end of the book.
Bureaucracy, which is in real life, yeah.
Yeah, and it happens in this book, too, which is done really well. But, like, literally, there is a divide at the end of this book. Dumbledore is like, if you don't believe me, Fudge, like, then this is the parting of ways. That's the chapter. It's, like, the parting of ways. Like, literally, if you're not with me, you're against me. And it's done very pleasantly between him and Dumbledore, but he's like, if you don't believe this, if you don't go get the, have the Dementors leave Azkaban, if you don't talk to the Giants to come back over here on our side.
Oh yeah, the Giants. You probably haven't heard about the Giants.
No, dude. The only Giants I've seen are Hagrid and the big giant Hagrid bitch.
Exactly. Yeah. You have their whole plan.
Yeah, in the book, I don't want to ruin anything for anybody else, but especially Ezra.
So pump it down. you're jumping way in.
Like, hold on. Yeah, no exposure.
Pretty incredible. Like, literally, we're at this here because you're gonna see it you're gonna start seeing it happen in the next movie. Like, literally, like, things are gonna start
in the next book. Yeah, for sure.
Start to happen big time, man. Like, and it's sad, really. It's really sad, like, how, like, everything just fucking dissolves, and because a government guy
a bunch of stupid things take place. Yeah, you
get, no walking spoilers, back, Jesus, buddy. Jesus, dude. No, Christ. Yeah, God, don't give me anything, dude. I have no idea. Don't tell me anything, please.
Caught up in it.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I love this movie a lot. This is arguably probably the best. It's, yeah, me too. And I feel like this is probably my favorite of the films. This and 3 and 4 for me, but, like, great movie, book needs to be read. I can't wait for, we're going to take a huge break and then come back to these. That'll give us all time to probably all go back.
We need time to audiobooks, fucking go and actually
to literally do it for the first time. And which is, more important than anything else, man. I definitely want to hear what you have to say. Once you get more into reading the books and hearing how that all plays out, it's so much better. Like, it's indescribable. And it sucks. And I hate to say, but the movie's really, he's right, man. They just kind of, they make sense for what the movie storyline takes its direction. But the books, it's a totally different thing.
Yeah.
I'm excited to look forward to it, honestly, guys. I feel like I'm missing out a huge part from the books, but I feel like I'm going to miss an even bigger part if we keep going on. So I think this is a well-deserved break. I hope that, and from what I hear, Jim Dale does as good of a version as maybe Frank Mueller did with the Dark Tower series.
I don't know. They're on par.
Okay, if it's on par, if he's even less slightly equal to, I'm going to be fucking stoked. So
they're on par.
Okay, that to me is massive. So I look forward to it. I can't wait to fucking go through them. And we're going to take a break and then come back to the rest of them. And boy, is that going to be a fucking doozy.
Yeah.
Because then I'll have the knowledge, boys. Then I'll have the knowledge.
Because I think that the next time we do this, the next mark is that we'll actually hit the even amount of movies we did this month to the next, to next year or the next month. So, yeah. Should be a lot of fun.
For sure. Yeah.
We'll see. Anyways, thanks for listening to the show, guys. We really appreciate you dudes out there and dudettes. And we'll talk to you soon. Won't be a piece of shit. And yeah, later.
Don't get your knot in the lawn. Damn it. Go get your one in a knot. Fuck. I had it in the back of my head. All right, never mind. Bye.